Would everyone stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll call our meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Harris is not here yet. Trustee Genrich?
Here.
Trustee Atwood?
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart?
Here.
Trustee Green?
Here.
Trustee Dennis?
Here.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to a nice fall evening in Alloway. Would anyone like to modify or adopt the agenda? Trustee Genrich.
Prior to adopting, could we move item number 11 up to where it would best fit, 4A perhaps? Okie doke.
Would anyone else like to see any other changes to the agenda? Good. Okay, do I have a motion to adopt the agenda as modified?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Announcements. We have our Bell and Run on June 11th, and there will be some road closures, and the road closure posting is on our website at www.villageofalloway.com, and it was also sent out by Debbie Banion to her email list. So if you are not on the Village email list, please go to our website and sign up for that. You can get all kinds of important information. Let's show that Trustee Harris is here. Hello, Trustee Harris. So they have it laid out very well, telling people when the roads are going to be closed, when they'll be able to get around. If people need to be able to get out of their neighborhoods, they can contact Bellin to make accommodations. They'll come and get you out of there. They've been very accommodating. If you have any questions, you can call Mr. Lyon. Oh, don't call Brad. He won't be here. Call the Village Hall. We'll help you. Next, Alloway Fest. Alloway Fest, the Precious Metals Car Show, is this Sunday, June 12th, at Green Isle Park from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. If you've never been there, you'll see all kinds of old cars. You'll have some music. There's refreshments. And it's a good old time in Green Isle Park. And you don't have to be a car enthusiast to be there, right? Anyone can do that. Next is a reoccurring event, Families of Children with Cancer Run/Walk on June 18th. Chris, could I ask you just to fill us in on that a little?
Yes, this is a reoccurring event. They've been holding this event for, I don't know the exact amount of years, but for many, many years, and have never had an issue with any of the event along the roads or within the parks. This is a nonprofit organization that raises funds for children, for families that have children with kids.
It's a great cause. And if you'd like more information on the organization or their event, you can go to www.focwc.org. Kaboom. Kaboom, Playful City. The Village of Alloway has been honored with the recognition of being a 2016 Playful City USA. The Village of Alloway is being honored with the 2016 Playful City USA designation for the first time. Celebrating its 10th anniversary, the National Recognition Program honors cities and towns across the country for making their cities more playable. So our kudos goes to our Parks Department over the years for developing a great environment for families and children to play safely, and to our entire staff for keeping that going. Congratulations, Village of Alloy. I have one other announcement. I saw today on the Brown County Clerk's website that Brown County Board is seeking applicants for the District 15 supervisory seat. That seat was won by Tom Caters in April, and for some reason he has stepped down. So anyone who is interested in serving District 15, which is the north end of Alloway and parts of Bellevue, they should contact, well, go to the clerk's website or contact Patrick Moynihan, Brown County Board of Supervisors. Brad.
I got two more announcements, if I may.
You may.
The survey that's online, and the postcard that was sent out to all the residents, encouraging them to fill out the survey regarding the excess sales tax funds. We have received over 500 surveys so far. So
very cool.
It's really a good turnout. And then the last item is a reminder of the farmer's market. It begins July 7th, the Village Hall and Bellin next door to us. We're full with 35 vendors. We've got music, and it should be a good time. That's Thursday evenings from 3:30 to 6:30.
And we've gone from 1.5 produce providers to how many?
10.
To 10. So it's a real farmer's market. Thank you. Great job on that, guys. Any other announcements from staff? Any announcements from board? Trustee Dennis.
I would like to pass along an announcement that I'll just read it to you. It says, we're pleased to announce the opening of the new law office in Alloway. It is Jansen Law Office, LLC, Attorney Robert J. Jansen, located at 3000 Riverside Drive, Suite 210, Green Bay, phone number 920-425-4844. Bob has been an excellent Alloway resident for many years, kids involved in soccer and everything, and he's decided to, he's been practicing law for like 27 years now, and he's opening, it's that kind of reddish brick building down on Riverside Drive next to a big flagpole just south of the retention pond.
Welcome, Attorney Jansen. Any other announcements? Hearing none, we'll move on to public appearances. Is there anyone who would like to speak to the board tonight regarding something that is not on this evening's agenda? Going once, going twice. Hearing none, we will move on. Item 4, the old item 11, new item 4A, action regarding resolution 2016-18 regarding the vacation of a portion of River Lane. Do I hear a motion on this item?
Motion to approve.
I have a second. Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion?
We do have the property owner and architect here. We want them to say anything.
Welcome. Thanks for coming. Would anyone like to ask any questions?
I think the piece of property is right on River Lane, and it basically was abandoned by the village in terms of taking care of it a number of years ago. Former property owners took care of it, and property was sold within the last year or so, and the new owners would just like to develop it. The village would like to part ownership of it and annex it to the existing property owner. Fairly simple.
And you folks came to us quite a while ago, I believe. And okay, great. Well, it's great to have it work. If it works, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Agenda item number 5, hearing to consider adoption of ordinance 2016-05, creating section 11.04K, exterior lighting, chapter 11, zoning of the Village of Alloway Municipal Code. Do I have a motion on this? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? Trustee Green.
Yes, I just wanted to, you know, this comparison of efficacy of power, how this was described, just so everybody knows as you're looking at these numbers, was, you know, if you have directional beams on your garage and they're pointing down your driveway, and Mark, tell me if I'm wrong here, any spillover is not counted as a problem going over property line, because we have a lot of property lines very close to garages, especially as you circulate around the north end of the village. So as long as the beam's going down, that's fine. But what we've had problems with is people actually directionally spotting their neighbor's house. That's not allowed. But just for clarification, I wanted to make sure people listening knew that if it's going down your driveway, it spills over on your neighbors, that doesn't count. It's if you're directing it over there. So I just want to make sure everybody's clear on that as we pass this, because some of these ordinances that we pass, I mean, if I were reading this without that explanation, I wouldn't know what it was saying. However, for legal terms, just so you know, we have to phrase it this way. But for general purposes, am I wrong?
Or is
that okay? Thank you.
Okay, if it's okay with the... Trustee Harris, you have something?
No, I was going to say we are opening it up
yep.
to see if there are any comments.
It's okay with the board. We'll suspend the rules and open it up to public comment. Would anyone in the audience like to talk about this? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Good evening. My name is John Trester. I live at 2030 Jourdain, and I just have some general comments about outdoor lighting at night. We all realize that most government regulations is not the government trying to take over our lives. It's just trying to keep people from being too big of a jerk.
That's one way to put it.
So when... outdoor lighting, you know, if people would realize more often that when the light goes someplace that you're not intending it to, it's wasted. You're wasting your money lighting something that shouldn't be lit. Like the there's a security light in De Pere that shines all the way to Mason Street. You can see it on the trail at night.
That's a problem.
I used to watch the school. I live behind Webster School, and I used to pay attention to what was going on up there. And a number of years ago, they put up big security lights shining away from the school. I can't see the school anymore through the glare. And I have to close my shades, so... schools on their own, and the lights aren't going to protect anybody. You know, that's the kind of stuff that we have to be aware of. That, you know, shining up into the sky is dumb. You know, if you want to light something, light it. You know, have fun.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Would anyone else like to speak on this matter? Hearing none, we'll take up the rules. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item 6, adoption of ordinance 2016-05. So I have a motion on this item.
Move to adopt.
Thank you, Trustee Dead. Do I have a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion?
We just discussed.
We did. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 7, hearing to consider final approval of petition from Old Chapel Hill Apartments, LLC, formerly Bishop's Hill Apartments, LLC, requesting planned development district on parcel AL-56-2, located at 1921 Riverside Drive, and adoption of the ordinance 2016-10, establishing the PDD. Do I have a motion on this item?
This is the hearing part.
Oh, it's the hearing part. Who wants to kick it off, Brad? Who wants to kick it off, Trevor?
Sure.
Sure. This is the fourth of four public meetings regarding this project. This project was originally proposed earlier this spring. It's a 48-minute project, apartment project, on the corner of Riverside Drive and St. Joseph. Since the last meeting, there have been a few changes to the site plan. One of the biggest changes was the DOT proposed right-of-way as part of the Highway 57 project will require additional right-of-way, so because of that, the buildings were set back an additional 15 to 16 feet, I believe. Because of that, it took away a lot of green space up here that was suggested for some other amenities like a volleyball court or playground or something like that. This additional entrance and exit was also added, and the building exteriors will now be... a heavy-duty hardy-board siding with a stone base. Those include the main changes since last meeting. Something mentioned in the memo that the developer needed to work on the stormwater plan and utility plan with the Public Works Department. They are working together. I'm getting a plan, but that's nothing's been approved by Public Works to the state, but it's in the process.
Did you say there is added green space in the back?
It was taken away
because
of the additional space that was barred in the front, bordering Riverside Drive because of the right of way expansion.
Okay.
So that's it for now. We do have a representative from Old Chapel Hill and their engineer present for any questions.
Okay. Mr. Garrett, is there anything you'd like to say?
No, I think we've covered it. Everything is, same as last time we were here. So.
Okay. Is there anyone from the audience, or does the board have any questions for?
Well, staff recommendations have been met, including the fire department and all that, right? So we're good to go.
All staff recommendations, have been met, except the utilities and the stormwater, but those are being worked on. So that could be a condition upon receiving a voting permit or meeting those requirements.
And the Planning Commission recommended we move forward.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions from the board?
I have one question for Chris, and maybe it was in here, Chris, but with that green space being removed, is there still enough green space and trees for the property according to the ordinances?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
If I recall, it was about 29%.
Yes, there was.
Then the other issue that was talked about at the last meeting, I think, was the sidewalk and or pedestrian accommodation along the north side of St. Joe's. Is that pretty well established, or where is that at?
Uh, Well, with St. Joseph being scheduled to be reconstructed in 2018 or 2019, it's been discussed to kind of hold off on the sidewalk until then, and until we complete a more intensive study of the area as far as what works best there, because as you recall, in the corridor study, it called for a trail, which is a 10-foot path, versus a sidewalk, which is five feet. So we need to do more research as far as what works best in that area. We obviously don't want to have the developer or the village spend money on putting in something that we will, in a few years, will rip up and put something else in its place.
Okay. Trustee Harris?
On the subject of the, my first one was on the, with regard to the green space. My assumption is that, in essence, it's just moved west because of the right-of-way. But the other part in terms of the sidewalk or trail, if it were going in upon construction, it would be the developer's expense to put that in, correct?
Not necessarily.
Okay. So I'm just, if we delay it, does the... does where the expense falls, does that remain constant? You know, it would be just delayed, and still the expense would be, the burden of the expense would be by the same party? Or how does it work if we're delaying it?
I think this would be a TIF eligible expense in this instance, as far as the sidewalk or any street improvements in that area.
Okay.
So, I guess, whether it's either way, it would probably be covered by the TIF.
Okay. I just didn't know if delaying it changed where the responsibility fell.
Right now, it's my assumption that it's a village-borne expense, whether it be TIF money or not. Right? That's the plan?
That's great. Correct me if I'm wrong, great.
We're not as far as I've seen, we're not asking the developer to pay for that, are we?
That's great. We're not.
Trustee Dirk?
I guess I would rather see it, us have a plan before we just decide to do something and make sure, I mean, that Arboretum Trail in our overall plan is really a neat thing for the village. And you don't want to just force it by doing something right now, and you don't know really what we want to do. So I would like that to be better formulated before we make any decision there.
The other thing to keep into consideration is the condo unit to the east. The challenges of a sidewalk going through there because of the grade. If it's 10 feet, it goes further into a steeper grade. So, you know, if you're looking at trying to tie, in which we are, is trying to tie a sidewalk, eventually, hopefully, from the East River Trail to the Fox River Trail, it's looking at the entire project versus one portion of it. Because mm-hmm. it is all going to, it needs to match up. And if you, the current sidewalk from Webster Avenue towards the condo unit to the west, I believe it's either a 5 or 6 foot wide sidewalk. So then if you go through the condo area, are you doing 5, 6, or 10? And again, like if you were saying Trustee Penny, Trustee Dark, just to make it consistent. So there's a little more work that needs to be done on exactly how that's going to lay out.
So in the design, if we don't have the trail right now, when you build the buildings, where will the sidewalks from the building go? Will they go all the way out to the street at this point?
There's a right-of-way between our property line and the curb at the village owns where you can put your trail or any sidewalk. Our village will not interfere with your future trail.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying if we don't, you build your buildings, right? They're all going to be done next year. And if you have a sidewalk coming out the front door of someone's apartment, where is it going to end? If we don't have the trail there, will you go all the way to the street with it?
We'll
so
bring it to the curb. Yeah.
Okay.
If that's what you want, I mean, okay, that'll look the best.
I would think so. Sidewalks to nowhere don't go anywhere.
The problem with putting a sidewalk on St. George Street now is that once you get up to that, to like the condominium, it won't go, it won't stop. So okay. There's really no connectivity.
Yeah, and we have that study going on right now, right? We're getting ready to go into the study to for St. Joseph.
Yeah,
the Arboretum Trail. I have a question. I believe I read that additional parking will go to East St. Joseph. Is there room on St. Joseph for parking?
It's a wide street.
Okay. So our street widths and all that allow for that.
Okay. Are there certain areas that are going to not be allowed for parking due to the curvature of the roof?
I don't think there's no signage on that. Currently, there's no signage that indicates no parking on one side or the other. So at this point, it's a model we use.
Probably should keep an eye on it.
The last question I have is regarding the garbage. The trash enclosure is on the east side of the building, if I recall. Is that going to be completely enclosed?
Yeah. It's located on the easterly side up in the corner. Now, again, yeah. Remember there's about whatever that wall is, 10 or 12. You have two sides of that array, so that the third side would be built in, but then obviously there's the gates to the front.
Okay, so there's not a roof over that?
No, it can't be a roof. This obviously is not given in the truck.
Okay, so the Planning Commission wasn't, or no one's concerned about so the condos being right there, smell of the garbage, or?
If there is a smell issue, it would be a violation of our ordinance, in which case they need to schedule pickup more often.
Okay.
Correct, Mark?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board or comments? Is there anyone from the public who would like to talk about this issue? Mr. Chester.
Good evening. My name is John Chester. I live at 2030 Jordan. I live in that neighborhood. And the only comment I really have about the project is after 30 years, another commercial building is going in and with a whole box full of excuses and no sidewalks yet again. So,
point taken. Thank you. Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. We've been studying this particular intersection for about 5 years now. The village has spent $70,000 on the corridor study, which was supposed to focus on this exact intersection here with the plans for the community. It's very important for the people who are currently living in the condominiums on St. Joseph Street and the new apartments that they have access to the businesses along the Fox River and to be able to walk up to the business that we're going to be developing on Webster Avenue. So now is the time to put in the sidewalks, even though that they may not connect for another couple years until the road gets reconstructed on the condos in front, but we need to make sure that there's room for sidewalks on this particular segment. I work across the street from this complex. I see elderly people walking and trying to ride their bikes and that type of thing. There's going to be a lot of people who want to get to the new supper clubs and everything along the river, and we need to make it easy for people to get from Webster Avenue down to the riverfront where we want to develop our new entertainment district. Thanks.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to talk on this issue? Anyone? Trevor? Oh. Roger, how are you tonight?
Hi, I just wanted to, Roger Retzloff, 209 West Whitney Street, member of the Planning Commission. I just wanted to make it clear that the Planning Commission did ask about things like garbage, sidewalks. I think in a more detailed site plan, there is a line that shows roughly where the property line exists, and that should be clarified so that you are sure that you have enough space for the Arboretum Trail, should that go in. It is well worth the time and effort to do a preliminary study of the road section. That can be done for either in-house or for little money on a consulting basis to make sure that you can get everything in that we that the corridor study recommended. There are issues of pedestrian access to some of the remote buildings. One of the issues regarding garbage that I in particular asked was there's only one location on the very remotest part of the site, rather than so that the people who are on Riverside have to somehow get all the way over with their garbage to dump it in that one location. I don't know if that's wise, depending on the market value of these homes. So we did discuss all of that in Plan Commission. I don't know if it was properly represented in the minutes, but a lot of the questions you're bringing up have been discussed and reviewed by staff. So just wanted to make sure that you were clear on that.
Okay, thank you very much. That is interesting. Is that a long walk for people, or had you given thought to putting another dumpster somewhere?
Yeah, but I've designed lots of apartment projects, thousands and thousands of visits, and the trend right now, or the best way to do them, is one central trash location. The last couple projects I did, 320-unit project, one trash location. Do they have to put it on their car or walk it over? Yes, they do. But they're able to manage it better. They're able to pick up more often. They're able to access it closer to the street in most instances. So it's just a better way to do it. You don't want multiple locations all over. It just, you know, causes other issues. But the last 10 projects, they have one location.
Okay.
How often do you see trash being picked up at this location?
Typically, it's once to twice a week. Just depends on, you know, how big the area they have or how big the location is.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Trustee Harris.
If there were a need over time, could a secondary location be established for garbage? Do you, would, what area could work as a secondary area for the garbage?
It would be more likely that they would just add another container up on another location. That's typically what we do.
Okay.
But what usually happens is you just pick up twice a week and it's covered. So this isn't such a huge site that I don't think that would be an issue. It's already planned for. We know it works.
Okay.
It would be possible.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? Any last chance for the public to talk on this? Okay. Hearing none, we will close the public hearing. Item number 8, final approval of the petition from Old Chapel Hill Apartments LLC, formerly Bishop's Hill Apartments LLC, requesting planned development district on parcel AL-56-2, located at 1921 Riverside Drive, and adoption of ordinance 2016-10, establishing the PDD. Do I hear a motion on this? Trustee Barrett.
I move to approve with the idea that the couple of things, the stormwater and
utilities
is worked on.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion? The only thing I have to say is, for those of you who came up and talked about the sidewalk and access for pedestrians, everyone I know agrees with that. So everyone on the board that I've talked to And in these meetings, everyone agrees to that. And we really want to do something right and do something cool with the Arboretum Trail. We're going to invest in the design, as Trustee Dart said, and have something that people in Alloway will be proud of, which will be safe and get people from east to west. Any other discussion? Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Welcome to Alloway. Okay. Old business, item number 9, new eye equipment. Mr. Lyon, or do I hear a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second? I'll second. Mr. Lang, would you like to fill us in, please?
Yeah, there are two questions that you need to answer that we are looking for answers. One, whether or not the board is interested in live streaming the meetings, because that if you are and you're voting to approve this, then therefore we would be investing in the necessary equipment for the village hall. And two is the funding mechanism for this. There's a couple of options that you can certainly look at using, using unassigned fund balance, work it through the budget process for 2017 to see if there's room for the equipment within the budget process, or you could designate some funds from the excess sales tax funds. So those are the three items that I think for funding mechanisms you could look at. But again, the first question is whether or not live streaming is something that the board is interested in doing.
Okay. Let's ask the board.
How much discussion was had? I'm still relatively new on my return to the board. So how much discussion was had on this during, let's say, February, March?
Basically, the discussions we've had were, do we want to jump on board with New Eye?
Okay.
And whenever that may be, it was, I think we're supposed to be up and running already, and we aren't. So the question then comes in, if we're part of New Eye, and if we want to take advantage of the opportunity to live stream, I mean, we can do two things. We can live stream or just record our village meetings and publish either one of them. So the question comes up, do we want a live stream? Because if we want a live stream, we have to buy special equipment for that to happen. Or at least we should. Correct. In the ideal world, we could do, if we just want to film it or tape it and publish it, we don't need as fancy equipment.
Correct.
Right? We could do it on Trustee Dennis's iPad. We could a live stream on Trustee Dennis's iPad.
What the equipment would consist of is a camera would be placed behind you that would face towards the podium, and then there would be a camera on this behind us that's facing towards the village board. And then you would have the option when a resident did come up to speak, you can switch the camera so the camera is on the resident versus on the board. So anyone watching could get a feel for what's taking place, and then you would just switch back and forth. What, as you alluded to in the other discussion, we could or we can videotape, if that's what you call it anymore, record the meetings and then have the recording sent to New Eye, and then they would put it on for us. It just would be live. That is obviously a much less expensive option.
DePere's, DePere City Council is on Channel 4 or whatever. Are those live? I see those at times, but I'm assuming they're not all live.
Not all of them are live. It's what they, I think the initial meeting is live, and then they play them over okay. as part of their programming. And we would have that same option. You could.
Any other municipalities, Bellevue, Howard, anybody else?
Bellevue did not participate in the New Eye program. The Village of Howard is participating, but they have chosen not to live stream their meetings.
And I don't think they're going to record them either, video record them. Ashwaubenon has the equipment in place already, and I believe they do. I don't get their channel, so I don't know if they actually live stream them currently or televise them live stream. A couple of other additional information for you. Got an email today from Brian, who we've been working with from the county executive office, and they do have between 6 and 12 NWTC students that are going to start tomorrow putting together PSAs. That doesn't require us to do any work here at the Village Hall. That's something in addition to what we're asking for tonight, but I just thought I'd let you know that they have entered an agreement with NWTC to use interns to do the PSAs, and what that allows us to do is as many as we want. Earlier in the discussion, we would have had 10 PSAs per year, and they would have been produced by UWGB. So we've gone from 10 to an unlimited amount. And they would do virtually the same aspect of helping putting together a script, so, and then producing and cutting and editing.
And interns will be available to come to the Village Hall and to work with us on certain aspects of whatever we have questions or problems with. The changeover at first kind of raised an eyebrow, but is actually a better changeover because NWTC is more in tune with the technical aspect of what's trying to be done. There are a lot of glitches and hang-ups in the system so far. The commissioners on the board have addressed that with Brian and told him that it's disconcerting that it should be addressed and moved along quicker than what has been done. Because we're all basically sitting in the same situation with the exception of Ashwaubenon and DePere, which actually had their systems up in place a couple years ago.
Yeah, my concern is, I know startups have bumps in the road, and you've had many bumps. With NWTC, I'm fine with that. Question is, we were supposed to get professional grade video, right? Promotional videos. Are the students being mentored by someone who is professional?
Yes, they are. They're being mentored by teachers that are doing, and it will be part of their programs as such that they create quality product, and we have say over whether we agree with or disagree with what has been produced for us. Okay. And if we feel that something needs to be changed, then it can be changed. And that's all part of their learning process.
Okay. The reason I brought this to the board as far as do we want to invest the funds is, you know, it's so that we can start to do some of the planning necessary to get up and running. However, if you so choose to postpone actual purchasing of the equipment, and we can borrow from New Eye itself some cameras, and we can do a few board meetings and see how it goes.
I can't imagine that these fine people would want to watch us on TV. They want to come to our meetings. Right? You want to participate in person.
Personally, I can't see the benefit of spending money on who's going to really watch it. I mean, that's
I'm looking at this as
boring.
It's a nice to have, not necessarily a need to have. If you watch the DePere City Council meetings, for lack of better words, you're stuck in their time. Okay, as we put the minutes online, you can easily search through to find the topic that you're looking for to get more information about, whereas if it's set on just your screen, you can't search. I don't know of any requests for doing this. This is something we've just talked about doing. I'm not sure if the costs are going to justify the benefits.
Exactly.
My thought on this is on the same lines. You're investing a lot of money for very little viewership. And quite honestly, I think people have a tendency to speak more candidly and openly when they're not on camera, and I think we'd be shutting down some comments from our folks that come. And quite honestly, I'd, in terms of interns versus professionals, and so, seems like the rules keep changing. So I'm not opposed to the interns. I think it's a great opportunity for them to learn a little bit more. But it's like every time we bring up this topic, a new eye, something's changed. And typically hasn't gone for the better. I think we really need
we're
to...
We're way behind schedule.
Yeah, I think we really need to relook this. Bob, you've been a part
well,
of all
I
the committees.
That, and it's, there's an extreme frustration. And there's more that's going to be coming along the way that, as far as cost, that has not officially been delved into any further, but of which, over which I have strenuously voiced concern. There's a couple things going on. One of them is Charter Communications is coming in, and of course they say that's not going to change anything, and that's fine. However, the percentage of viewerships keep changing on cable. Mm-hmm. And what has happened is that a good portion of cable viewership is now going to the combined AT&T U-verse DirecTV program, which is a higher percentage in Ashwaubenon than it is in for cable. Therein comes the next point where we just found out this last meeting that Brian said there would probably be, if we wanted to be on their systems network, an additional cost for equipment in the ballpark of $8,000 to $10,000. And you know, it's like just open that window and keep throwing the money out. You know, and it's just the more it gets, the worse it gets. You know?
See, I'm with you. This has turned into too loose of a deal. I think we need to kill it until they get it done.
One of my huge concerns is financing this through franchise fees off cable. Cable's going the way of the dodo bird, as far as I can tell. Because, I mean, how many of us have dumped cable? Seriously. Mm-hmm. So if that's how we're ongoing financing this, I just don't think that's a good long-term financing mechanism either.
And it was based initially on the 10% of the gross income, which was paid to the village from the franchises, which in our case was $164,000, or our portion was paid.
It's going down.
Yeah, and you know, it's...
Did the board decide how we are going to be compensated for a cheaper alternative for our PUSAs?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Brian said, I thought in a memo he said that it would cost us less than the $16,000 because we're not paying GV to have the professionally done. I'm guessing we're not going to save that.
I'm thinking right now we're going to save a whole lot, like all of it, until something. Seriously, we're not being responsible, you know,
just,
by even going
into
this program.
As a cheapskate that I am, I'm kind of ticked off. Okay, and I'm being honest about it. You know, this was supposed to be something that was going to happen, and we had this vision, and you came in and talked to us, and Troy was with you, and how wonderful it was going to be, and that everything was lining up. And all we've gotten as far as what's supposed to be put into place is excuses. You know, they keep talking about the equipment and the names, and they keep putting it out there, and the bottom line is it hasn't happened yet, and why there are problems. And we kind of held their feet to the fire at this last meeting. The commissioners did, because nobody was happy about it. You know, it was like, you know, you promised this, and we're getting down here. Yeah. And as far as streaming them live, I don't think that's necessary. Having the equipment or the ability to record in-house is nice. De Pere has the Cadillac version of it. Ashwaubenon has a Cadillac version of it. But they got a whole lot more money in their tax base than we do, and they have a whole lot more to draw from. And I'm having hard times with this, you know, and I have expressed that. And I don't like spending money. And I would just assume at this point that if we really had to take an action on this, that we could put it on hold for now and say, you know what, guys? You have not met your level of what we expect and what we were told to expect, and part of the agreement that, you know, we had come to. I mean, I know we said we're going to do it, but We have and you haven't. And I don't want us cutting a check for something that we're not going to get.
I would agree.
Trustee Genrich.
And I think the motivation to do it was very positive, to increase the transparency, which is very popular these days, and try to get more and more people involved, because that's a struggle we have. You know, 500 responses to the survey is good, but out of X thousand, it's not great. So this was an attempt to do that. But based on the comments I'm hearing, and I'd have to defer to a Roberts Rules expert to say I can either modify or withdraw my motion to approve, or we can simply let it go to vote.
If you would like to modify, I believe you can make a modification to yours.
Then instead of voting to recommend going ahead, I vote or recommend we table this at this point, as Trustee Dennis suggested, based on the information that he has, and just let it sit for now until we have more info, and then address it again at a later date.
And who had seconded
the... I think you did.
I did.
I would agree with you.
Okay, any further discussion on that? Is there any, if it's okay with the board, I'll suspend the rules.
Right after you table?
Oh, probably not. We're tabling it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Next time. If anyone would like to share any information with us, we'd love to hear it. Okay. Number 10. Action regarding Ordinance 2016-07, amending Sections 26.10A and B of Chapter 26, relating to the number of days in which fence repairs must be corrected. Do I have a motion on this matter? Trustee Harris.
Yes, move to approve as presented.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion?
Well, I think the point that Mr. Tressler made earlier about the board not making rules just for making rules, but because some people aren't using very good judgment, this is just another example of that. So I think we have to do it in order to respect the neighborhoods.
Any other discussions?
And basically, the change is simply changing the warning period from 30 days to 15 days. Because I don't know if you have that in your agenda. Yeah. So if people are violating the existing code, they have 30 days to repair or respond, and that doesn't seem to be working, so the recommendation is to change it to 15 days, which is still adequate time. If there's a hardship or whatever, that can all be dealt with.
And as long as they have a plan, Mark's been working with people. We've had people with fences laying down for months doing nothing. So that's been the problem.
Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 12, action regarding request to Riviera Bar and Grill, LLC, to amend their premise description to include an outdoor deck. Do I have a motion on this matter? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion?
Previous owners had one, right?
Yep. Previous owners had one that was encased in plastic and basically a smoking lounge for the winter. And I was just down there the other day. They're working their tails off, and it's a nice deck. ADA accessible, I believe. Or no, he's going to create an area that's ADA accessible. They've cleaned it up real nice, put a pergola top on top of it. It really looks nice.
Great.
And he's working to make sure that they can control that area for underage drinkers who may come off the trail and that sort of thing. So I liked what I saw. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. License action item number 13, license renewal for Riviera Bar and Grill, LLC, Mario Bryan to sell fermented malt beverages
and intoxicating liquors from July 1st, 2016 through June 30th, 2017. Do I have a motion on this item?
Motion to approve.
Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Green. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 14, preliminary approval of petition from Lakeshore Development LLC requesting planned development district on parcels AL-1148 and AL-1148-1 located at 2550 Southwest Avenue. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to deny preliminary approval.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Trustee Dart. Any discussion? For those of you who are not familiar with this, this is a parcel of land that extends from McCormick home pretty much to St. Matt's.
And we may have some interested
down
parties.
We have many interested parties.
Okay, good.
Do we know if the developer is here?
Is the developer here tonight? Nope. Okay. So all of you seem to know, but and at the Planning Commission recommended, if I am correct, to not move forward with that.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
To not move forward with that.
So the motion on the floor is to accept their recommendation and not move forward with this.
Has there been any other staff contact with the developer since the Plan Commission recommendation?
Just briefly, it sounds like they're still pretty firm on their density that they want to maintain.
Conceptually, I've received many emails on this and saying it doesn't fit in with the comprehensive plan. And quite honestly, and I'm not saying the size of the lot itself, but the type of development does very much fit into our comprehensive plan.
Just not right there.
Because of the corridor study and everything we've done, all the research we've done in asking village residents, they want accessible housing for senior citizens. So that people who live in Alloway and own homes can downsize and stay in Alloway, the community they love. So conceptually, it fit right in. Driving down Webster and blinking, trying not to blink and miss that lot, it was hard for me to envision that going in there. But I left that to the pros, and the pros came up with their answer.
One point that I'd like to make on that is one of the things that I really felt strongly about is using a PDD process to encroach on the neighbors. That certainly didn't seem right to me, to shorten the distance and I don't think that's what we want PDDs to do. We want to make it more viable for the neighbors, not less viable for the neighbors by using the PDD process.
The key word you said was process. We have a process,
yes.
Right? Anyone can request a PDD. But we have a process here in the village. By state law, we have to have a process to go through this, evaluate it. We have our planning commission who goes through it. We have our staff who goes through it. And we have the village board, and we have public comment. So I think the process has proven to work, as it has in other cases. Any other comments?
As a village board representing the constituents here, I think we want to be developer-friendly. To a point, encourage these kinds of things to happen. Witness Mr. Garrett right here and his plans. But sometimes the plans aren't perfect for the site, and that's what this looks like at this point.
Well, even when developers have come in, you know, when projects have gone in, we've made sure they fit within the community and the neighbors are heard. And, you know, for example, the Quick Trip going in that originally didn't have fences now has a fence on the back retaining wall to keep the headlights out of the neighbors' windows. We've got a history of protecting residential neighborhoods, and everybody here is that way. And the developers know that, and we're not anti-developer, but they have to fit. And the density of this just doesn't fit with where the thoroughfare is in this neighborhood.
It's such an odd lot.
It is.
Yeah, you know, lots. Looking at it, you know, lots.
Yeah.
But it's hard to imagine anything viable going in there that isn't significantly smaller than what this is. I mean, this was just, and the fact that the developer's not here tonight says
that
something.
Me a lot.
That's, you know, it's like, okay, buddy, let's look at this one.
But like Trustee Genrick said, we do want developers to be interested in Alloway.
Well, all right, this board has been extremely proactive in helping developers come into Alloway, and I think there's been more progress in the last, you know, year to 2 years than we've seen in quite some time. So yes, it'd be great to have something come in there, but you're trying to put a 20-pound sausage in a 1-pound bag. You know, this is not going to work.
And the developers we have had have been very responsive, and this one just hasn't since Plan Commission meeting, as far as I know. So,
any other comments from the board? If it's okay with the board, I'll suspend the rules for public comment if there's anyone who's interested in the development going forward. I didn't think I'd get any.
They don't look excited.
Does anyone want to say thank you?
No, just okay. I think we should condemn the smokes. You know, strike that word, please, and strike Bob at the same time.
See, this is why we don't live stream.
I think we should commend our citizens for active participation, showing up, talking, expressing themselves, letting us know where they're at, letting us understand their ideas, thoughts, comments, and input into the process, because that's when the process works, is when both sides are involved actively.
And once again, all of the, most of the email correspondence I received was all very professional, caring, understanding, as people in Alloway have proven time and time and time again to be. So, thank you. Any other comments? Okay, the motion on the table is to deny the request.
Trustee Raffin. I know you said it in a way in jest, but the way you said it about if there's anyone who's interested in the project to come forward and speak, we want to make sure if we allow both sides to have the opportunity to speak if they wish.
Sure. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this matter?
In any way, shape, or form.
Mr. O'Rourke. Thank you, Trustee.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. We have a zoning code that's 110 pages long. It's pretty good. It's been tweaked over the last 50, 60 years. We should respect the zoning code. The PDD process shouldn't be used to circumvent the zoning code. This is a Class A residential area. To put an 8-unit complex on one and a 9-unit complex on another single-family lot is just outrageous. And the neighbors shouldn't be dragged in here every time somebody wants to put a PDD on their process on their property. There needs to be objective criteria on what the underlying zoning would allow in a certain for a certain use, and that underlying zoning should be matched up with the PDD. So the requirements in the zoning code requires that the PDD actually enhances the project, not as a way to get around it to get higher density. So the PDD, if it's going to enhance it and you want to change some things around, that's okay, but you have to be respectful of the quality of the neighborhood and the underlying zoning that's there. So this is Class A, should be single family, shouldn't be putting 8 units on a single family lot. Thanks.
Thank you.
But anyone else, if I can respond to that?
Sure.
I think when Trustee or President Rafter discussed the process, I think we're talking the same thing, because the developer certainly has the right to request a PDD if there are at least two parcels, and that's what they did. And I think the process worked well. And I hope nobody feels they were dragged in here. And I hope everybody feels they were listened to, because they certainly were. So I think the process worked, even though we may be talking about it in different ways.
We have to do certain things to get people into our meetings.
And threats usually work.
Sir, or in the back, you can come next.
So Matt Gill, 2539 Martha. Whatever the process is, again, new to this,
just to acknowledge the number of people are here, so there's about 12, 13, depending on my calculations, just on Martha Avenue and Picard Circle. So just appreciate that, as Trustee Dennis had noted. So I don't know if there's a process by which that gets documented besides me saying it out loud, but that'd be great. And there were over 20 at the Plan Commission meeting. So appreciate you guys listening to us, and just for whatever public record, we love to get that out there. So really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
My name is Dale Walton, and I'm on 138 Iroquois Avenue, and our property butts right up against with that property. And the only concern that I have right now is for future, anybody who wants to develop anything on there. So far, the way that this plan was drawn up was they're only 10 feet away from our property line, which would probably be about 20 feet from our back door. And so I don't know what the stipulations are, what the rules are, but for future use, I don't know if it's possible to have a stipulation on future that you can be a little bit more further off the lot line than that, especially if someone would come along and build a big two-story. And here I'm 10 feet away from a big two-story wall. So I just thought I'd put it out there. I don't know what I can do to investigate on this and find out what the rules are for something like that. But there must be an ordinance, I guess, how close you can put your building to the property. I'm not even sure what it is in Alloways.
Just like Mr. O'Rourke mentioned, we have a village code, 110 pages, you said, Jim? 110 pages long, and we can get you a copy.
Would you come over and read it for me?
No, but I'll live stream it.
And we'll have a little barbecue or something.
And I'm not kidding. Actually, you can contact Trevor Fuller.
Trevor?
You can give.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'll do that.
And there are setback requirements.
Thank you very much. And I do. Sometimes I make light of things, but I am sincerely thankful for all of you folks showing up. I've always said this, that it makes our job a whole lot easier, and this is our job, to understand what our village residents want, much like Trustee Dennis said. Yes, sir.
Jeff Young, 2522 Martha Avenue. One of the things I just wanted to mention was I appreciate your comment, Trustee, but I think that a clarification between putting a high-density development on a residential zone A property versus putting a high-density development on a previously commercially zoned area, I think that's apples and oranges. So I think it's far more appropriate to do what's happening at Old Chapel Hill than it would be to do what was proposed on a one-acre parcel. The only other issue I thought is that we have talked as a neighborhood community that one of the things that's obviously a setback or a holdback or preventing anybody from coming in and putting three single-family units on that property is the cul-de-sac that's required, in order for that to happen. So if there was some way to begin some sort of a positive dialogue between potential developers and the village as to some sort of a compromise about how that might be accomplished between developer and village versus the cost, which is then cost prohibitive on the developer alone to come in and spend somewhere up to $80,000 to bring a cul-de-sac in with sewer, water, utilities. So that's my only comment.
Great. Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to speak on this matter? Okay. We'll pick up the rules. Trevor, would you like to say something?
Sure. I'd just like to do a little shameless plug here. Village is trying to look for neighborhood associations. And what neighborhood associations are is a unifying voice. That's what the village's intent for them are. It's basically a group of neighbors for grouped together for a common goal. You decide what the goal is, but it gives us the ability to have a direct contact person for developments like this in the future, any street projects in the future that might take place, that we're able to have a person to contact that can then efficiently distribute that information to the rest of the neighborhood. So if the neighborhood's interested in the neighborhood association, you can also contact me.
I'm very glad you brought that up. Great idea. Any other comments? Hearing none, we'll pick up the rules. We have a motion on the table to deny the request. And a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion denied. Motion passes. Request denied. Thank you very much. You don't have to leave. Come back.
All right. We get lonely.
We know where you live.
Have a good night, folks. Appointment, action item number 15, appointment of Trustee Genrich to the Historic Preservation Committee. At last meeting, I believe, or the meeting before.
He's old enough.
He
remembers everything.
What did we do? Oh, we voted to add a trustee to the Historic Preservation Committee because there weren't none. And it was the only committee, official committee, that he had. Trustee Genrich has, thankfully, offered to serve on that committee. And so I would like to appoint him to that committee.
So for clarification, we're preserving Trustee Genrich in his present form?
Forever.
Two shots on the same motion.
Do I hear a motion on this matter? Okay. Trustee Dennis?
Don't you just have to appoint him and then that's it?
No, you guys have to approve it.
We have to approve your appointment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Seconded
by Trustee Green. Any discussion? Trustee Genrich, this is your chance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much, sir. Action number 16, amendment to developer's agreement with Old Chapel Hill, LLC. Trevor.
Actually, I put on your desk tonight the corrected version because there were some typos. And spelled out a little bit more on how the incentive works.
Okay, thanks.
That's the fresh copy on your table tonight. Staff recommends the moving forward with it. The developer has seen it. The attorney has prepared it. So.
Okay. And for those of you who don't know, the change is, I actually thought at the beginning that we are going to reimburse the developer based on building that is habitable,
correct?
Instead of waiting until the end of the year to provide them the money.
I actually thought the same, so.
Yeah, I thought that's the way it was. So, do I hear a motion on this matter?
I'll
Trustee
make
Genrich. What would your motion be?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Trustee Atwood seconds. Any discussion? That was my understanding, first of all, so it works for me. Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Number 17, award of bids for fiber optic connection. Do I hear a motion on this matter?
Is this tied to the new I proposal too?
Should we suspend the rules and let Mr. Lane inform us?
It would be, yeah, if yes and no. Okay. In order to have the direct contact with Brown County, fiber optics was necessary. But this is something that we looked at a couple years ago and finally put it into the budget or made it through the budget process. It's right out in front of the street. It makes sense for us to get connected to the fiber optics. It gives us direct contact to Brown County and to Green Bay. Plus providing a much faster...
Internally, you'll have a faster system.
Right.
And it was budgeted for.
It was budgeted. We're a little over budget. And the biggest part of that comes from connecting. They ran out of space in the box out front of the village hall, so they have to pull another line down to Crignon, if I said it correctly. Mm-hmm. And that's a $3,900 increase. So without that, it put us pretty close to at budget.
We were, what, 15 for the budget?
15, correct. We did receive, in that 15, there's also MC&E, who is administering the connections and did the design work for it. So it actually comes out to closer to that 20 when we're all said and done. So we're about five over. But then again, that 3,900 is that additional connection that we didn't anticipate. We ended up having three bids came in on time, and the fourth one was late. So we had to return that one unopened. But Dan Becker from the multimedia communications and engineering was very comfortable with what he did see. So, and everything is in line, so the recommendation would be to move forward with Holter Brothers.
Do I hear a motion on this matter? Trustee Atwood.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by the second. Seconded by Trustee Dennis. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. We'll do item 18A, approval of facade improvement funding for the Lorelei Inn. Do I hear a motion on this matter? Trustee Genrich.
So moved. Approved.
I will second. Trustee Dart. Any discussion? Trustee Harris.
We have, I just want to make sure I remember properly, not only have we done things as a grant, we've done loans.
This actually would be our first loan, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
Okay. Have we established?
We have a program for a loan.
Okay.
But this is the first application.
I didn't ask that question ahead of time, so thank you.
And the interest rate on the loan is for this would be
3%? That's correct. Yeah, we go by off of the state trust fund interest rate, which for a 5-year loan is 3%.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item 18B, approval of facade improvement funding for Hawthorne Suites by Wyndham. Do I have a motion on this matter?
Move to approve.
Trustee Harris. Do I have a second? Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Alloy is business friendly. Item 19. We thank our businesses for investing in our community. I think it's great. Item 19, action regarding parks, recreation, and forestry committee minutes dated May 24th. 16. Item A, purchase of playground equipment for Kiwanis Park. We'll take these separately. Do I hear a motion on this matter? This was a budgeted item.
And this action is to approve the minutes?
No, it's actually to approve
the action. Approve the purchase.
The purchase.
Okay. Yeah. I make a motion to approve.
Trustee Atwood moves to approve. Do I have a second? I will second. Any discussion? Looking at the designs, we've chosen option 6. I think that's actually like a lot of them, but option 6 is, I think, cool. So is that a rubberized field below that or surface?
No, that's a wood chip surface. Okay. It's just a computerized depiction kind of makes it look like it's rubberized.
Okay. Chris?
Sure. As part of the process for selecting playgrounds, we did reach out to representatives for playground manufacturers. We received six presentations of different playgrounds at different prices, all within our budget. And then we also reached out to the neighborhood, sent out 600 postcards to the neighborhood residents and had them go online or here in person at the Village Hall and complete a survey to select the playground that they wish to see.
Nice.
In their community or in their neighborhood. The top two selections were option number one and option number six. So those were by far the greatest responses. Out of the 600, I believe we received 88 responses on that, which is pretty typical of a survey. So
that's great. Good for you for doing that.
And as in addition to that, I believe I mentioned that in the memo. In addition, I'm also working with the Kiwanis Club to see if they want to offer some donation towards some additional pieces to the playground. So I'll be in contact with them this next week, which they look like they do want to participate.
Wonderful. Chris, assuming purchase is approved tonight, approximately when do you think the new equipment would be installed and ready to use?
We're looking 6 to 8 weeks. So
cool.
Before September, right? For sure.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Any other discussion? We have a motion to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Item 19B, Ordinance 6.06, Dogs and Cats in Parks or on Premises Other Than That of the Owner, Revision. Mr. Clark, would you like to fill us in on that?
Sure. This was an item that has been discussed many times at the Park and Rec Committee meetings. One of the things that came up during our survey when we updated our comprehensive outdoor rec plan was many comments from the community on how they felt Alloway was not very pet friendly. Green Bay area in general is not very pet friendly. By that, they are saying they cannot walk with their families to parks and legally walk through a park because even if their pet is on a leash, that's other than walking on the East River Trail, it's not legal per our ordinances. So in discussions with the committee felt that this would be one step towards becoming a more pet-friendly community. And in looking at this as a step in conjunction with what the Village of Bellevue is looking to do with opening a off-leash pet dog park, that this would be a good step towards that. So what we're looking at is amending the current ordinance just to allow pets within the parks on a 6-foot leash, and with the exception of in playgrounds, in picnic grounds, on sport fields, and in buildings.
Thank you.
But they must be on a 6-foot leash.
Correct.
And they must pick up waste. Because that's
correct.
The other feedback I get is we've got
correct.
Dogs and waste, and people don't pick up their dog waste.
And that is correct. And that was discussed at committee as well, that we are going to come up with new ways and try to educate our pet owners throughout the community, as they're getting their dog licenses. For their pet, we'll hand out additional information on that, whether it's baggies or that, and we will also provide some of those within our parks.
Good. I wish I could write prescriptions for dogs, and they'd let us do that because it gets people out, it gets them walking, it gets them healthier.
Okay. Do we have a motion on this item?
I have a question. Has there been an increase in the number of dog licenses? I feel like there was more and more families with them in the community. I'm just curious if they've kept
up. Well, the number that we have on our books to date is approximately 437 licensed dealers, which we discussed at committee, and we know there's more than that in the community.
10 times.
Okay, do we have a motion on this item?
Motion to approve.
Trustee Atwood, motion to approve. Do I have a second? Trustee Green, any discussion? I can just envision Mark Roberts running through a park chasing someone. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item 19C, creation of an ordinance to prohibit smoking of tobacco and electronic smoking devices in village parks. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
I have a second. Trustee Atwood. Any discussion?
Evolving research on secondhand smoke speaks for itself. And people go to our parks to enjoy a healthy environment and not to be fumigated.
Well, even furthermore is the littering that takes
place.
The
littering is ridiculous.
In young kids who put things in their mouth like cigarette butts.
Yep.
Because they're laying there is a huge factor.
It's kind of like the pet waste. I wish we could have some effective thing against littering.
My one concern, if it was a concern, was Green Isle Park and we have weddings there and that sort of thing. And would that hurt that traffic? And Mr. Clark didn't think that would hurt because we have great demand for that facility. And
right, and no other public place like that can people smoke. Yeah. So the only ones I know of that they can do that in are private clubs or casinos. So.
But if they had an event, at Green Isle or somewhere else, you couldn't smoke outside the building in the park, though, right?
Oh, you couldn't?
No, correct. That is the whole park.
Okay.
But okay. And then we posted, and that's the only real cost.
Right.
$500 or for signage.
Okay. Going to end up like a vape store in town now?
No, it's not allowed. Electronic cigarettes are not allowed.
In a vape store, are they allowed to be someone to come in with a business?
Oh.
A vape store can turn into a...
They can come into our we're business ready. Okay. We have a motion on the table to approve them, to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
Well, he just keeps getting everything, Brad.
I was going to say golden boy, but that wouldn't be Item 20, action regarding approved contract with AECOM Technical Services, Inc. for subsurface exploration and geotechnical engineering evaluation, soil and groundwater of Old Village Hall site, 1649 and 1677 South Webster Avenue. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris.
Move to approve.
I have a second. Trustee Green, any discussion? Trustee Harris.
I don't see it on here. Maybe I missed it. Approximate timeline for starting and results to be received back by the village?
The intent is, if it is approved tonight, they have a rig ready to go tomorrow. And they felt that they could probably be in good shape within a month.
Okay, thank you.
I saw somebody up plotting on the property today. So possibility they're already zoning it out.
Foreshadowing.
That would have been Taker's Hotline because they had a call. I had for Taker's Hotline and all the utilities marked. And they've just been on hold. And this is something that, from the staff standpoint, we feel very important to get done so that we have a true understanding what are we dealing with on that site. Get this site sold soon, someday.
I'd just like to say that, just for the record, that there has been some interest on this site in the past, but because of some of the problems and not knowing exactly the extent of it, we lost any interest. So it has to be done.
If there aren't any objections, we'll open it up to public comment. Mr. Retzloff.
Roger Retzloff, 209 West Whitney Street. Does this site qualify as a brownfield?
Yes.
Thank you.
I am correct, correct?
That should be public information. I don't know if it is.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we have an old dump site. We have some petroleum to deal with there from the old gas tanks from the old village hall. So
there was also a significant amount of bubble gum under the chair of the Parks Department.
Okay, we'll pick up the rules. We have a motion on the table to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item 21, charging for public records requests. Do I have a motion on the table for this item? A motion to approve. Do I have a second? Trustee Green. Discussion. I'll start off discussion. Quite simply, Brad and I were at a public officials meeting down in Nina being held by a law firm. Oh, and how dare I forget. And Bob, Trustee Bob Dennis was there too. And they were just talking about all kinds of issues for municipalities. And one of the issues was open records requests. And we sit around tables with people from other municipalities. And they all charge for open records requests. State law mandates that we give access to public records, which we like to do. But sometimes it takes a lot of our staff time. And we seem, as a village, we seem to get more than our fair share of those. So we found out we don't charge for those. And so the motion on the table is to approve having staff or directing staff to draft an ordinance that allows, to the extent allowed by Wisconsin state law, for the village to charge for open records requests. Trustee Green.
Also, then that goes into our accounts payable records, and those are published, correct? Good.
Any other discussion? Yes, sir.
Is this, it needs to be done as a formal ordinance?
Yeah, I think it does. All the Green Bay has one. All the surrounding communities.
I wasn't sure how that part of it worked when I saw it.
It's actually probably an amendment to public access record ordinance.
Okay.
I went through our ordinance there.
Okay. Thank you.
And just for a public information or public benefit, this isn't an attempt to, I think it's fair to say, it is not an attempt to reduce open records requests,
correct,
but simply cover the cost of the materials and the staff time when these requests are made.
Yep.
Also noted that when we were at the meeting with the Davis Kelfaud out in Kimberly, they asked from those who were gathered how many of the municipalities had had requests for open records. And there were a couple that had had one. I think it was one that had two. And anyone who had more than that, they asked that they be identified. And of course, we were in the village of Alloway. Brad was there, raised his hand, to which point in time he said we had 85 at that point in time, most of which have been involved in the same source. The amount of time, effort, and supplies that are involved in covering that cost hits to the point that when you exceed a certain number, it starts to take a nick into the budget because there's a cost involved. It's not just, make a photocopy and let it go. There's also legal fees involved. There has to be a look into a question of legality of something, as well as the copy of the time that's involved with our village clerk. And if you multiply out that 85 times, $200, you're looking at $16,000. $16,000. And so that starts to affect, that starts to impact our budget, because our budget is $7,500,000. If that continues, then it won't be a problem. So this is a way to try and cover part of the cost. It doesn't cover all of it, obviously, but it is a way of us to try to keep things noted and accounted for.
And I would suggest we capture as much of that as possible. Just so you know, that comes out of the general fund. It comes directly off your tax levy. So every one of the residents here is paying for those numerous requests that are getting turned in.
Any other discussion on this item? We have a motion to approve or to direct staff to draft an ordinance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 22, action regarding ordinance 2016-11, creating section 2.09 of the municipal code, creating a municipal board of absentee ballot canvassers, and providing for the canvassing of all absentee ballots at a place other than the polling location. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
I have a second. Trustee Dennis. Any discussion?
Have we, over the past few years, what percentage do we know about absentee ballots or increased by? And I know it's increasing. I was just curious if you have a guess as to how much.
Not right now.
Okay.
I can tell you tomorrow.
There's a lot.
Okay.
There's a dramatic increase. Isn't that fair to say?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we count those on election day
normally
at the polls?
Normally they're counted at the polls. And so someone has to wait in line. And they can only do two or three at a time because otherwise the people waiting in line get upset. So they can only get so many through. And a lot of times they end up doing it at the end of the night. And all the candidates want their results at 8 o'clock.
Those candidates.
and everybody, I mean, even the county, they have to wait for all of us to bring in our results for them to get home after they do their work. So the sooner we can get them done.
So when would we count them?
They're counted on election day, just at a separate location instead of at the polls. We have two other poll workers working with me to put them through the machine and count them.
And if we don't do this, I can't even imagine what fall is going to be like.
The November, and that's the main reason we wanted to do it. But if we do it for that one, we have to do it for all of them. So we have to do it now if we want to do it.
Okay, great. Any other question?
No, I'm just glad to see political involvement going up.
Yes.
A lot.
And it is amazing if you're down here, and mm-hmm. you all have been on election night, to see how quickly things come about and how well they are handled. And again, lauding people in the village of Alloway with the turnout this last election of 64.8%. I mean, that's pretty amazing, pretty cool. I mean, something to be happy and proud about as a citizen.
And just so you guys know, Debbie is the coordinator of chaos that day, and she does it very well and very gracefully.
Okay, we have a motion on the table to approve the creation of the Municipal Board of Absentee Ballot Canvassers. Do we all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 23, we'll take the consent agenda A through E. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
I have a second. Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Item number 24, adjournment. Do I have a motion?
Before you adjourn, I have one thing, and I should have brought this up earlier. Something brought me a concern that was in regards to parking along the Bruin down on days of soccer matches. Or the park there. I don't remember the name of the park there. This last citizen came in saying that, you know, with cars parked on both sides of the street down there, it's difficult for an emergency vehicle to go through there. And that was a concern, and you take a look at that.
Mr. Clark.
Yes, I'll comment on that. When we did the reconstruction of LaGroom Street, we did have some no parking signs that were removed at that time, and we failed to reinstall them, which we did this past week. So now they are installed. So the north side of the room is no park.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Gee, he's a good park director.
Trustee Hart or Trustee Green?
I was going to say, also regarding correspondence, I meant to put this one in there too. The St. Josephs and Webster intersection that we received from Kevin McGirth. That intersection is, we look at the Arboretum, it's an issue. I walk through there a lot. I'm not sure if the issue's with the intersection itself or our lack of motorists taking into account our pedestrians, which need to coexist in the roadway with them, but anything we can do would be good, because that
safety
intersection
first
is a problem. Also, the intersection, speaking of which, at Webster Avenue Market, motorists have the same attitude, even if you're in a marked intersection.
Mr. McGurk works at Bellin,
yeah,
in the old grocery store site there, and a lot of people that work there go across the street for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And he witnessed a near accident there with a pedestrian, and was very concerned about it and just wanted it brought to the attention of the powers that be.
And first thing in the morning, it's an issue, too. I walk from my house to Village Girls quite a bit and go right through there, and it's just amazing to me. Vehicles are bigger than we are, but both need to coexist.
And Webster School, there's lots of kids in that
mm-hmm.
area at those times of day, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
One more item.
Gretchen,
sorry, I just remember this. I went to a meeting last night of the Round County Historical Society in regards to, and I know this isn't a directly village-related thing, but in regards to the Bishop's Chapel in the Alloway Catholic Cemetery and Mausoleum. And there is a ad hoc group that's being put together by the Brown County Historical, as well as independent citizens who are working together for the preservation of that building. The diocese itself will not be actively involved financially, however, they will for purposes of oversight for the, for lack of a better word, sacramental essence of the building. There will be estimates that will be brought in on what the cost will be to salvage the, not salvage, but to preserve the building. And that meeting again was last night. It was a good and positive thing. It is not going to be torn down. The diocese has said that they wanted to have a specific plan and chronology of how things will happen laid out, because there have been rumors out there and word out there saying that it was going to be torn down in June. That is not going to happen. They needed to have a time frame at which it would be addressed, primarily because they have been contacted by Aon in regards to insurance. Mm-hmm. There was part of the chimney which had loose bricks on it that had fallen, and there was concern as to whether it might be a hazard. And so what they are going to do is to have that insurance report, which is going to be forwarded to the committee. The committee will then take the concerns according to priority and hopefully get an idea of not only the cost, but the time frame involved in the preservation of the chapel, which was built in 1876 by Bishop Francis Xavier Carpel, after whom they named the cathedral. So it's just an interesting piece of history as well.
Thank you very much, fellow historian. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Genrich. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. We are adjourned.